They offer advice on dealing with the behavior, quick fix or whatever, and that brings blame. You shouldn't do this. You ought to do this instead. And all this is good. All this is good. But they never get to the core issues inside the heart that are driving the addiction. What's below the actual addiction? As has been said, the problem is not the problem. It's the coping that's the problem. It's good to identify the problem. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, because the first thing you learn in Celebrate Recovery is denial. People who have this problem don't realize they do. So it's good to identify. It's good to have some behavioral modifications to help so you don't get knocked off your feet. Steve Arterburn's Every Man's Battle, full of a lot of good advice. If this happens, do this. If that happens, do the other thing. But how many get down to the core issues that are causing us to be enslaved in whatever addiction we might find ourselves in, whether alcohol or drugs or sex or spending or relationships, Facebook, dare I say Farmville? Ooh, stepping on some. The core issues driving the addiction. Addictions, at the heart of an addiction, very often, if not nearly always, they are coping mechanisms, ways of dealing with ugly stuff inside. It's been described as an invalid way to meet a valid need. Oftentimes the needs that are not met, that are driving these addictions, are valid needs. Good needs. Needs of self-worth. Needs of integrity. Needs for society and social interaction. Needs of purpose. Needs of the good feeling of having done something well and receiving the recognition of having done that. The affirmation, needs for affirmation, the need to be loved, the need to be secure, the need to be provided for, all valid needs, but invalid, destructive, horrible ways of trying to meet these needs because they were not met in ways they should have been met. Addictive behaviors oftentimes release, well, generally do, release chemicals in the brain like dopamine, which is a powerful drug. It creates a reward response in the brain that says that was good, in a sense of well-being, in a sense of you know, wholeness. And when a person engages in a potentially addictive behavior to meet this ache inside of them, and that dopamine is released, and that feeling of that temporary fix of wholeness is tasted, it quickly becomes addictive. It creates a response in the brain that becomes almost a default. And so it masks the pain of emotional wounds, these bleeding things where we're bleeding out in our spirit and in our soul. How many people do you know that on the outside look great, but inside they're bleeding out? They're just desperate. Their soul is shredded and they're doing everything they can to try to keep things together. It masks the wounds and traumas that we suffer in life, particularly, hear this, particularly as a child. Those are some of the deepest wounds we carry, those we suffered as a child. The hands of our family, maybe, our parents or our brothers and sisters or our uncles or our so-called friends, whether through abuse or neglect, whether it's something that was done to us that shouldn't have been or something that wasn't done that should have been done for us or to us, and it wasn't there, and we're wounded by that. And it brings pain in our heart. We may not even recognize it. If it's You know, we were talking the other night, if it's something that we were deprived of, that we didn't even know we should have, and we simply coped with life, tried to get through our life without this thing that we desperately needed, didn't even know what it was. And so we engage in these addictive, destructive, ugly behaviors that destroy us, that destroy our lives and hurt the people around us. Because we're trying to cope with that pain. We're trying to medicate, trying to numb that heart wound. And it follows us around and it won't go away. And so controlling the behavior is only a band-aid until we start to deal with the core issues that are driving our addictions. That's why I think it's absolutely fascinating about Jesus, what he said right before he started talking about cutting off limbs and stuff like that, plucking out eyes. He said something that is so profoundly deep. He gave this stern warning. He says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin. Let me start that again. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. How many people are included in anyone? Raise your hand if that includes you. If you or I cause one of these little ones to sin, you'd be better off drowning to death. He says that to us. Now, we kind of get glib about that because, frankly, it doesn't seem to be a big problem at the surface. None of us probably say, well, you know, I can't remember the last time I went out and tried to get some little kid to sin. It's not like you have all these parents out there handing out guns and telling their kids to go rob banks. On the surface, doesn't seem to be a big problem, so we just gloss over it. Yeah, buddy, but that guy's in trouble. Glad it ain't me. Never did that. Right? I mean, if that kind of went through your mind as we read this, did you kind of say, well, boy, that's bad for him. Glad I didn't do that. Really? Really? On the surface, it doesn't seem to be a big problem because we're not telling kids to go rob banks. But let me tell you this. The problem is this. It's the wounds and the hurts that we receive as children that cause us to sin as adults so oftentimes. It's those hurts and wounds that we receive when we're this big that cause us to do those destructive, ugly, horrible, addictive things as adults. The problem isn't that we're giving guns to little kids, unless you're like in the Ivory Coast around the diamond mines. The problem isn't that we're giving little guns to little kids and telling them to go rob banks. The problem is we are wounding, or worse yet, simply forgetting about and neglecting our kids to death. And those wounds that we inflict upon them at that stage of their life causes them to fall into horrible sin when they become an adult or a teenager. And that's epidemic. That is epidemic in our culture. We are awash in wounded, abandoned, neglected children, if not abused children. And you don't have to go far to find that. If it's not already in your house, it's next door. If you're not already trying to sort through some of the garbage from your childhood, you can find it right next door, or the next house down, or the house after that. You can walk into a 7-Eleven and probably 3 out of the 4 people you meet are engaged in some kind of destructive behavior trying to cope with those deep-seated emotional wounds and neglect and abandonment. It's the abuse, the rejection, the abandonment that's causing the problem. It's the assaults on our bodies and on our hearts and minds and souls that are the problem, that cause us to sin later in life, that cause us to drink and to drug and to fornicate and to masturbate and to become in all kinds of addictive, destructive, hurtful behavior. And you hate, that's what I hate about sin, is that it hurts people who are beautiful people. It takes someone who has so much going for them, who is attractive and personable and warm and talented, and steals and robs and kills and destroys them and turns them into a shell of a person. I hate what sin does to people. I love what Jesus does to people. I love our kinsman redeemer. Pulled me out of the miry muck and set my feet on a rock. And the problem is when we do these things trying to cope with the wounds that we received as a child, we get involved in this destructive behavior, and guess what? Then we in the process wound our own children by our own hand when we do the very things we swore we would never do, because when he did it, it was so hurtful and so painful. I'll never do that. Bam, trying to cope with that pain, we do the same thing. And it goes generation to generation to generation to generation. And it's only the sozo of Jesus Christ, the salvation, the deliverance, the healing of Jesus Christ that can stop the cycle and end the pain and heal that heart wound. Only Jesus Christ can bring that deliverance. His power, His word, His truth, His spirit, His presence can change us from the inside out. Paul talks about the washing of regeneration. We're new creatures in Christ in the fullness of the Holy Spirit that heals us and empowers us and gives us fire in our bones and hope, that instills in us the faith and the hope to believe, to dare to believe that things could actually change.